Say something funny. I was at a funeral.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah, that was good. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse 17. And the subject in these verses is people need spiritual leadership. And you'll see these verses, and I'm gonna go through and show you some examples in the Bible about this. Hebrews 13, verse 7. We're almost done with Hebrews. I've got to pick another book. I think we may go to Philippians for Wednesday night. I don't know. We'll see. I like Philippians. Hebrews 13, 7. So the Bible says this. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." All right, skip over to verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So those two verses obviously deal with the phrase is they have the rule over you, and it says, one says remember, one says obey, submit, and then it describes the rule as someone who's spoken the word of God, someone who cares for other people's souls, and gives an account to God of other people's souls. So, all that said, the verses deal with people needing spiritual leadership, and so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I want to show you some, I don't know, four or five examples in the Bible about this to make it a little more practical, to see the practicality of all this. But let's pray first, and then we will show you some of these verses. Father, thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd have opportunity and liberty to take your words, apply them where they need to be applied. Help me, Lord, help me to say what you once said. Father, I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that folks coming in from work and just need some refreshing, need some encouragement, need some energy. I pray, Lord, that you would you'd provide that nourishment tonight. For those that are traveling, pray get them home safe. And then, Lord, the many folks that are sick, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies and, Lord, get them back on their feet. And then for Matt's surgery next week, pray that you would get him through that, and that would address the pinched nerve in his back. And then, Lord, thank you so much for the good report for the bonds, Lord, for Barry and Nancy, and being able to get some of the finances and the whatever they've approved for him, Lord. I thank you for that answered prayer, and I pray it would cover everything. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so these two verses, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." That's verse 7. And then verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." If you're saved, I think most of you guys, probably all of you here are saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. You get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. However, and some people believe this, they believe that, you know, they're just between them and God. That's all you need, is just you and God. Apparently, God gives and gifts the church with people with gifts, and he equips the church through other people. So to say, for instance, that, well, I have the Holy Spirit, I don't need anyone to teach me, that's not true. That's not true. That's not the way God set the thing up. He didn't set it up so you could be the Lone Ranger who, you know, does things on your own and whatever and all that. There's no such position like that in the Bible. The church is a body. And you and I are members of that body. It's the body of Christ. So all of that, I'm going to show you a couple instances in the Bible. And I'll tell you, it's I think it's very appropriate, very applicable to us today. And it's some of the thoughts of people today, you know, when it comes to things of God, it's almost like, you know, I will accept anyone's advice except God's advice. And that's kind of where some people are today. A lot of people are today. But let me show you a few things here. Go back to the book of Exodus in chapter 32. And I'll ask you, does anybody know what is going on in Exodus chapter 32? Anybody remember? You guys can tell me if y'all remember somebody. Do what? In the mount, yeah, the golden calf, yep, all that, that's right. So Moses, Israel has just been redeemed out of Egypt. They have watched God rain down. And I'll say this example that I'm about to use, I'll tell you, I was watching a sermon, and it's a really good example, and that's why I'm going to use it. I think it's a good example. But there's a fellow that preached a sermon, and he called it, "Everybody Needs a Moses." And the fellow's name is James Knox, if you guys ever want to hear this. He's a really good Bible preacher. He doesn't scream or yell, but the stuff is very poignant. Very good stuff. He's actually going to come here in a year or so, be up here. But anyway, he's the one where I got this illustration from, if you want to follow up with the rest of the sermon. But in Exodus chapter 32, Israel has, they've come out of Egypt. God has redeemed them miraculously, powerfully out of Egypt. They have watched God rain down plague upon plague against Egypt. And then they have watched God part the Red Sea. They have walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And then they watched God put the Red Sea back together and destroy all their enemies and get them safely out of Egypt. And then they go to Sinai. And at Sinai, Moses goes up into the mount. The mount is smoking, it's quaking, it's on fire, but it's not like a volcano where the lava is eating up people or anything. It's just burning, and it's smoke, it's quaking, it's all this stuff. All these miraculous signs and wonders and things that God was doing. The point of all that is to say this. If anybody had a reason to believe God, it was Israel. They had just watched the most miraculous things happen before their eyes. And if anybody had a reason to believe God, it was Israel. It was those folks. Yet, Moses goes up into the mount, and within a month, the people have already started saying this, looking at Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him." A people who had every reason to believe God, within a month's time, are already now creating gods. And what's, I mean, if you read all of Exodus 32, not only have they created idols, they are dancing around these idols. They're naked. The Bible says they ate, drank, they rose up to play. And so it didn't take very long for this group of people who should have, again, they had seen God's work mightily in their lives. Yet within a short time, they had already just lost it. So here's the question that can be posed with that. What's the difference between Israel obeying God, following Moses out of Egypt, and now Israel worshiping idols and partying and dancing around these idols naked and fornicating? And what is the difference? Shirley got it. The only difference is Moses wasn't there. Moses wasn't there. And all the people needed was a guy that would just go along with them, and they would just run in whatever direction they wanted to run. So Moses was the guy that would stand in front of the people and give them what God told them to do. Aaron was the guy that would stand in front of the people and just give them whatever they wanted. They say, let's make a calf. Aaron says, okay, we'll bring the gold and we'll make it. Aaron is the guy that just gives. He's not wicked. He's not a terrible person. He's not a demon, a devil, or anything like that. He's just unwilling to say no to the people. So he gets in front of the people, and he's just the vessel where the people can express their will. And the only difference between Israel following God out of Egypt and Israel worshiping idols is Moses. That is the only difference. What I'm saying is Israel needed Moses, and they didn't even realize how much they needed Moses. But they needed a man that would stand in front of them and hold the line with what God told them to do. When they sought for Aaron, I mean, they're just looking for somebody to take up the role here. Aaron just takes the gold. Everybody brings the gold in. He throws it in the fire, and he tells Moses later, well, I mean, this just came out of the fire. Like, what? I mean, it's like a kid with standing in front of the cookie jar with chocolate all over his face. Did you eat the cookie? No. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Of course you know what happened. You did this. This was the will of the people. And again, Aaron's not a terrible person. He's just unwilling to say no to the people. And the people don't understand how much they need Moses to stand in front of them and tell them what God said. Here's the thing is, in less than a month, a nation that had seen all of this from God, in the absence of a man that would stand in front of them and tell them what God said, this is the way the nation moves. If ever there was a better example of people needing spiritual direction, it's here. The only difference between Exodus, 12, 13, and Exodus 32, the only difference is Moses. He's absent, and now here the people, they're going to play around. And Moses comes in, and he says, what in the world's going on here? Aaron's like, well, I mean, we threw the gold in the fire, and this is what happened, and the people are just, they just want to do this. This is just what they want to do. Look in verse 6. The Bible says, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So it's not like they're not religious. It's not like they're not trying to be spiritual. They're spiritual. They're religious. They just don't know what they're doing. They're just doing whatever their heart desires to do, and they're calling that worship. I'm sure you could preach sermons upon sermons about this stuff, and you got people in pulpits and things like that where you just bow to the will of the people and just give the people what they want. That's Aaron. That's what Aaron does. But people don't need Aaron. They need Moses. Moses is the one that would lead them. So here's the thought is this. When you go over to Hebrews, he says, remember them, obey them, all that kind of stuff. The point is, God puts people in our lives to help direct, to help guide. And it's not to lord over people. Moses wasn't trying to enslave the people. Moses was helping the people get to where they needed to go. He wasn't trying to be mean or a dictator. You know, today. So I was talking to a fellow one time. This was down in Corpus. Anyway, just doing visitation, and he had been to some other church and said, you know, the complaint was, I'm not going to that church because that guy is a dictator. If that guy was a dictator, you'd be in church. If that guy was a dictator, he'd have your bank account. He's not a dictator. He can't be a dictator. The point is, spiritual leadership is put in people's lives to help them, but our hearts are so geared against God. When God tries to help, people see that as bondage, and people see that. Now, I understand some people can be heavy-handed and all that stuff, but anytime God says something, it feels heavy-handed. Anytime God gives instruction, it feels heavy-handed. That's the flesh. That's the nature of the flesh. It feels like bondage. That's what they say in Psalm 2. They say, get us out of this bondage, or I forget the wording on it, but it's kind of that way. People feel like they are enslaved when God, or they feel oppressed when God's trying to instruct. That's not oppression. Moses wasn't trying to oppress the people. He's trying to free the people. But they're just going to have to follow his leadership in order to get free. So here's Moses. This is a good example of people who have no spiritual direction, or they have some spiritual direction, but again, God just uses certain people to do certain things. And we all need help. We all need direction. We need guidance. In Acts 8, here's the eunuch on the chariot. He's going back to Ethiopia. And Philip says, he says, what are you reading there? And he explains what he's reading. He's reading Isaiah. And he says, well, you understand what you're reading? And he says, well, how can I except someone guide me? I just need someone to walk me through this. Just show me what this means. So there's a need there, and here's an example in Exodus. The people need Moses, and they don't even realize how much they need Moses. They don't realize how far their hearts will stray and how quickly they'll stray without some sort of direction there. I mean, it happens fast. All right, here's another one. That's Exodus 32. Here's another one. This is a New Testament one. Here's Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this one. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. All right, there's a parenthesis there. We'll skip through the parentheses part. He gave gifts to men. Now verse 11. He gave some apostles. So some people got the apostles. And some prophets. And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 explains why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, so this is why God gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right? Back to one thing I said a while ago. You're saved. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. However, apparently, according to God, that isn't enough to just get you through life. There's more that's needed there. And so God gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, so that the saints will be perfected, so that the ministry, the work of the ministry will go on, and the body will be edified. All right, so that's the purpose. So here's the thought again. We all need spiritual leadership. Haven't you in your personal life, I know I have. I'm sure you guys will reflect the same way in your lives. Haven't you in your own personal life been able to go farther with God with a pastor in your life than without a pastor? So God uses men to edify the body, to grow the body, to help the body, because we don't even realize how susceptible and how we sometimes fool ourselves, if you fool yourself, but we don't even realize how susceptible we are to all the winds of things going on and all that kind of stuff. And so you get out from underneath, Israel gets out from underneath Moses. I say underneath Moses, I mean he's just leading them, he's trying to guide and direct them. They lose Moses, and it doesn't even take a month, and they're already building idols and calves and doing what they're doing. The heart is that slippery, and it needs to be corrected. And so what they need, and what we all need, somebody that will tell us what God said, not just tell us what we want to hear. Somebody that will take the words of God, and Moses take the words of God, and make it understandable and make it applicable to the people. Somebody in the New Testament, a pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, all of these folks, evangelists, take the word of God, make it applicable, and help someone go a little bit further with God in their life. So, you got the Holy Spirit? Good, you're saved. You got the Holy Spirit. It's not just up to you and the Holy Spirit to live your life. There's still more that God has for you. All right? Here's another one. I'll give you maybe one or two more. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. I hope, I'm uncomfortable sometimes preaching stuff like this, but I hope it comes across the way it needs to. I hope we understand what's going on here. That just happens to be the verses we're at with Hebrews, but I hope it's coming across the way it needs to. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do." So Paul would leave Timothy, he would leave Titus in Crete, he would left Timothy at Ephesus, and the point was Timothy was there to stabilize the doctrine of the people, to keep them from getting off track, worshiping cows and stuff like that, Israel, but to keep the doctrine correct and to keep them focused on the work of God, the ministry, and the things that God was doing. But they needed a Timothy there. Otherwise, they just go do whatever they think is right to do. And that's just the way it goes. So it's Timothy's job there at the church of Ephesus to make sure people don't get sidetracked, wasting their time with other stuff. You're in 1 Timothy, look in chapter 5 and verse 17. All right, here's another one. I mean, kind of the same thing. He says in 1 Timothy 5, 17, remember, all this has to do with relaying the words of God. The difference between spiritual leadership and just, I don't know if you just say leadership, is Moses would tell the people what God said. Aaron would just let the people do what they were going to do. Both were figureheads. The people wanted someone that they could look to, but one of them would tell them what God wanted them to do, and that's what they needed. That's what the people needed. So, along those lines of relaying the words of God, he says this in 1 Timothy, verse 5:17. He says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." So the idea of laboring in the word and doctrine, or the practical aspect of it is this. Most of you guys came in here from work. Most of you guys have jobs, and you come in from work, and you don't have time to put in study day in, day out, hour upon hour, and prayer hour upon hour for everything going on in the ministry, because you got things you got to do. So the way the Lord sets it up is, all right, a group of believers will support someone who will minister the word and pray and hold up the congregation in prayer, and we'll agree to do that because that's what the congregation needs. They need someone that will minister the words, and because practically speaking, most folks don't have time to do that because they're working, because they got families and all that. So God will call out a man and his family to do a work that not everybody's going to be able to do. And it's just the way it's going to work. It's just going to be a handful of people, a few people that do that kind of work. And it's the way God set it up, because people need spiritual direction. They don't need to be told, just do what you want to do. We'll make a cow and we'll call it spiritual. And we'll just dance around and we'll call it church. And it's amazing how quickly and how just how fast the heart moves from following God to whatever it wants to do in the absence of any spiritual direction. So Paul leaves Timothy at Ephesus. He leaves Titus at Crete. So he leaves some men there that can be supported if they need to be supported there, but to minister in spiritual things so the folks can grow spiritually. So the church can grow spiritually. So I think of it this way sometimes. I mean, it's just in the position as a pastor, it is one of the things that is my job is to help you get as many rewards at the judgment seat of Christ as you can possibly get. To help you do that. I mean, addition, it's feeding the flock. controlling disease. It's just like a shepherd, you know. You feed the flock, you control the disease, you help the flock reproduce and all those things. But the idea in Hebrews is, he's telling the Hebrews, remember, obey, submit, all that kind of stuff, because you're going to need spiritual direction here. And in the absence of spiritual direction, I remember, you know, before I got in church, or in the time period I got out of church, there was a time when I was out of church for several years, a few years, I guess, and in my late teens and early 20s, and I realized after I got back into church how much I needed spiritual guidance, how much I needed someone's direction who was a little further down the road than I was, who was given a gift from God to help in that very specific way. And it was something that was absolutely needed. And the point of all that is this. I mean, people, we all need spiritual leadership. We need spiritual direction. And there are no, you know, me and the Holy Spirit and we'll get it done. That's not the Bible. It's not just me and God and we'll get this thing done, and, you know, I'll you know, appear when I need to appear or whatever. And it's spiritual direction is, we'll put it negatively, folks who don't believe they need spiritual direction have deceived themselves into thinking they're a lot more spiritual than they are. I think I said this the other day, but staying in the Bible, regular prayer, regular being here with you guys, is not something I do because I'm a spiritual person. It's something I do now and I did before because I'm not a spiritual person. I need help. I need direction. I need guidance. I need that. And so in the absence of that, I don't know what I do. The point is, people need spiritual direction. We all need spiritual leadership. And God has set it up so that we'll get it and get it the right way. And it's not so that pastors can lord over, or teachers can lord over, or apostles or evangelists or all that group mentioned in Ephesians can lord over people. Is so that they can bring people along a little bit further than they would go by themselves.